Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31, a powerful picture of the church. There are many images in Scripture to describe the body of Christ, the church. Most familiar is that of the human body. A paradox is an apparent contradiction. Two ideas that seem to be opposed to each other, but are not. This is the body of Christ, a paradox. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, it reads, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Dependence, independence, and interdependence. Our text for this session shows five perspectives on the image of the church as a body. First, Christians belong to one another. Look at verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." The physical body requires many to make one. The spiritual body is the same. All baptized into one body, all made to drink into one Spirit. All depend on the head, Jesus Christ. A person who trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior belongs to Christ. But not only do Christians belong to Christ, they belong to one another. A heart is not a heart by itself, but it belongs to the whole body. So Christians belong to one another. Second, Christians need one another. Look at verse 14. "For in fact, the body is not one, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Not one member, but many." The human body has many parts. Some in the church think they do not matter, and some think they matter more than others. These thoughts are contrary to God's word. No part of the human body is insignificant. All have a part to play. No part of the human body is more important than the others. To be healthy, every part is needed. And the same is true with the church. And then third, Christians differ from one another. Look at verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The key is verse 18. In his analogy, Paul spoke of various parts of the human body. Each part differs and exists for its own function. And yet there's unity. Verse 18 again. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. God's church has all kinds of people with all kinds of gifts. So it's much diversity in the church's unity. Fourth, Christians care for one another. Look at verse 22. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our presentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. God made the body as it pleased him. The whole body gets care. The weaker are necessary. The less honorable get honor. The presentable get modesty. The unpresentable get modesty. And the prominent remain humble. The mutual care of the human body to each part is essential. Just neglect one part and see. If one part of the body suffers, the other parts also suffer. If a hurting part feels better, the whole body responds better. The church is the same way. One suffers, all suffer. One rejoices. Mutual care is part of the witness of God's people. And then fifth, Christians work with one another. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, help, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you the more excellent way. When thinking about spiritual gifts, it's interesting that God does not pay attention to our viewpoint. We see people in church based on their secular work. But we do get surprised in life. A couple examples. Veterinarian John Dunlop, he invented the pneumatic tire, which is used on all vehicles now. A cork salesman, King Gillette, he invented the safety razor, which are the most commonly used. Bookkeeper George Eastman, he founded Kodak and cameras. God's plan is full of surprises. The body of Christ was placed on earth to serve. The ministry Jesus began centuries ago continues through the church. Christians work together with one another. Just remember that verse 18 again. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases. One of the greatest pictures in the New Testament is the church presented as the body of Christ. Let me ask you, are you part of the body? Because you see, we all come this way. To be part of the body, you have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. And that's just not a physical death. That's eternal death in hell. All eternity, for all eternity. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Why? Because God loves us. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us. He sent Jesus Christ, and He demonstrated that love. It says in Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What we need to do with that belief, that conviction, is that we need to profess it. We need to believe in our hearts. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And then we need to reach out and ask God to forgive us for eternal life. Romans 10:13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior and Lord? Are you part of the body? And let me ask you, are you functioning for His glory in service? Look at Acts chapter 2, down around verse 41. The new church, it had just been formed at Pentecost. In Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. This body of Christ, it functions for His ministry, for His glory, and He uses it to build His church. Amen. You have a great day.